Praise God. Is God good to us? Amen. Do you have hope this morning? Amen. Is your hope in Christ? Amen. Praise God. Glory to your name, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I want God to have His way today. His will to be done. Jesus. Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus. Jesus. Oh God. Jesus. Praise your name, God. Praise your name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Praise God. It's okay, church, just to take a moment just to keep our minds on God and just talk to Him a little bit. Amen. Praise God. It's not always in running the aisles and the shouts. Praise God. Sometimes we need a small, quiet voice from God. Jesus, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, God. Jesus. Oh, praise God. Jesus. God, praise God, praise God. Let the peace of God work in your hearts this morning. Jesus. 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 God, help us, Lord. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise your name, God. Praise your name. Appreciate what God is doing, church. Not just here, but in other people's lives, other churches. Amen. I'm telling you, God is preparing us for a work. God is preparing us for a work. But the power said, the time is now. I say, you either get on board or you're going to miss it. Amen. Because the time is now. When the train departs, if you're not on board, you're going to miss it. And you're not guaranteed another flight. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus, help us today, God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Amen. Jesus. Jesus. Appreciate the messages that were preached this week. I know a lot of you didn't get to hear them, but God's speaking to His people. God's directing Him. Thank God for that. A lot of times, I don't know if other ministers do that, but when you attend a camp meeting or convention or something, you kind of wonder, what would you preach if you was there? Just a lot of things could be preached on. I just appreciate what God has spoken to the people, the ministers that preached, the word of the Lord. Praise God. I understand they had a good service last night and God spoke to the people. Amen. Praise God. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Jesus, Jesus. I want to go to the word of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I don't have something to share with you this morning that you probably haven't already heard. Probably already heard it many times. I just want to share about the power of the gospel. About the power of the gospel. We're fixing to go in a couple of weeks. We're fixing to start our tent meeting. And it's the power of the gospel that's going to save souls. It's the power of the gospel. It's not the minister that's going to speak. It's not his style of preaching. It's not the singing. It's not the music abilities that we have. It's not the tent. It's not any of those things. It's the power of the gospel.
Right.
It's the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
That will deal with hearts. And that's the power we need working in our midst.
Right.
I just want to share a little bit. It's good to have our visitors with us this morning. Praise God for you being with us. We have Sarah with us and Charity. We're on our way home from Hereford. We're glad that she's able to be with us this morning. Amen. God kept her yesterday. Amen. The Lord just took a situation and it could have been worse, but God kept her. And we thank the Lord for that. Amen. Praise God. A softball got in her way, but the Lord kept her. Amen. Praise God. That's great. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3.
Yes.
Let me begin reading verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministration of the death were written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For that the ministration of the combination be glory, much more doth the ministration of the righteous exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excels. But if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. See, then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open faith, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You say amen to God's Word. Praise God. You may be seated. I'll be sharing now this passage and also in chapter 4. You want to keep your Bibles. We'll be looking at some passages this morning. Amen. I'm expecting God to do great things for us.
Amen.
And God's going to work. I know a lot of us are tired this morning. Just put a little bit more effort. Reach down a little bit deeper. And God will help us and God will strengthen us. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Brother Wood said, I had the easier service. He's going to have to keep you awake this afternoon. But amen, I don't know. I might be a little tough today. I told him I'd trade with him, so he didn't want to trade. So, praise God. But we find in the passage that we read this morning, you know the story. As the children of Israel have come out of Egypt's bondage, they have crossed the Red Sea. They are in the wilderness. God has provided for them many ways while they was in the wilderness. It was a time for Moses to receive the law, the commandments from God. They needed some kind of God. They needed some kind of government. They needed something to go by. Man cannot just be turned loose. They got to have something to go by. God gives them the Ten Commandments that they would have, that they could live by. But in these commandments that Moses received, it was not going to bring a deliverance power. Moses goes up on the mountain. He receives the Ten Commandments. It's written in stone. You know the story. He's in the presence of the Lord. This comes down. His face is lit up. He is shining because of the glory of the Lord and being in the presence of the Lord. So much that when he comes down, the children of Israel tell him, you need to to cover up your face. You need to put something over it. We cannot stand the glory that is shining from your face. Put a veil over it so we can look at you, so we can see you. And here Moses, he comes down and he gives them the law. And this law, when they received the Ten Commandments, it was not going to bring deliverance from them. It was not going to set them free from their sins or their bondages that it was in. But it was going to be a guide to let them know that they are guilty of their sins. When they read these commandments and they look down at them, and as they go down through them, as they read them, they're going to find themselves guilty of these things. They're going to find themselves in condemnation. And they are not going to be delivered, but they're going to be found guilty of that. And that's what the Ten Commandments will do. As man would read them today, they will find that they are guilty of their sins. They are guilty of these things. They are guilty of what has been done in their lives. But their guilt has to have some way of deliverance. It has to have some way that they can be set free from this. The children of Israel did not have that. They did not have that. Even with the glory of the Lord being upon Moses so much. I believe one reason why the glory showed upon him, he was in the presence of the Lord. But I believe also when he took those Ten Commandments to them and his face shone, they didn't let the children of Israel know that these commandments have come from God. That Moses didn't go up there on that hill and just write out something, but that these commandments came from God. Moses was in the presence of the children of Israel. He was a presence of God, and his face shone up. And when the people saw him, they said, "This man has been with God. These are the commandments of God." And they had known that he had been with God. Today we find the same thing. Man reads God's words and he is condemned. He is found guilty. He reads God's word and he goes through it. And his conscience today is pierced. He says, "I have committed these things. I am guilty of these things. I have committed these things." And they think they can just walk away from it. And they can just leave that. But they can't. It's going to be on their conscience forever that they have gone wrong. They have committed these sins. That they are guilty of these things. And they are going to be condemned. The children of Israel were condemned. I believe, what a sad situation. Can you understand how much better we have it today? Can you understand how much better we have it today, church? They read these things, "Thou shalt not steal." Oh, they said, "Well, we done did this. We've already committed this. We've already stolen. What are we going to do? We've already lied. We've already cheated. We've already done these things." And God gives these laws to Moses, and they are condemned. They are guilty of these things. And he tells us here that in the Word of God that we had read in the Scripture, he tells us that then verse 6, "Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." When those Israelites read that letter, read those commandments, it killed them, it condemned them, it made them guilty of what they had done. And they was guilty of it. But here Paul is letting us know that even though that they were slain or are guilty of those commandments because of the law, and the law killeth, he tells us now though, but Christ has come, the Spirit has come, and has come to give us life and to set us free from that guilt and condemnation. We were guilty of those things, but we have Jesus Christ who is able now to deliver us and set us free, because the Spirit is going to give us life. We were found dead in the law. We were found dead in our sins. The wages of sin is death, but the Spirit of God has come into our lives and given us life, church.
Amen.
It's given us hope. And that's the power of the gospel. We take that message to the streets in our tent meeting. That word of God needs to go out and it needs to convict the people that they are guilty of their sins. That they are guilty of their sins. And you say, "Well, they just walk away." They can't walk away from the message. They cannot walk away when their conscience has been pierced, when they have been told. When the children of Israel read that law, And they found out they were guilty. They couldn't walk away from it. They knew in their heart. They knew that they was guilty of those things. And when that message goes out and is preached, and they hear that they are guilty of sin, they cannot just walk away from it. This morning, if you got sin, you just can't walk away from it. You cannot just walk away from this gospel message that you've heard time after time. It has condemned you. But the Spirit, the New Testament has come. Jesus Christ has come that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly, church. He tells us how glorious it was. Even the law that Moses gave, and it was engraved in stone. He tells us in verse 7, it was glorious. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance. They could not look upon him. And even though he had a law that condemned him, and that glory was to be done away with, in a sense, that glory that was upon Moses was not going to be there forever. Moses was going to fade away. Moses is going to die. He's not going to be there forever. It's going to fade away. But he said, how? In verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious, though? That glorious glory that Moses had, it fades away. But he tells us now that this Spirit has come and has given us this new covenant, this new testament. It's come. How much more glorious it is that will deliver and set us free from these bondages of sin, that we'll not have to die in our sins and go to the grave condemned. But we can go to the grave set free and delivered by the power of the gospel through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He says, rather it be glorious, because the old law condemned, and was a law that was going to condemn man. But the ministration of the righteous exceeds in glory, church. How much more glorious it is that this new covenant that we are in delivers and set us free today. That should make us want to rejoice. And thank God that I don't have to go to bed tonight condemned. I don't have to rise up in the morning condemned. I can go to bed tonight in liberty and in freedom and set free. The children of Israel, God's people at that time, could not do that. But we can today, church. When we are condemned by God's words, I can go to the cross. I can go to Jesus. And I can ask for that forgiveness of those sins. And I can be set free. Praise God. It's the power of the gospel that brings hope to mankind. It condemns. It condemns. But on the other hand, it brings hope to that person. They're found guilty. They're found guilty. But Jesus Christ says, I will make a way for you that you don't have to stay condemned, but you can be set free. I will go and I'll make a way that you don't have to be in bondage, but that you'll be set free and you'll be delivered. And we should rejoice in that, seeing that we have such hope, he tells us. We have such a great hope, he tells us. It's a great hope today. We are set free. We all have sinned, but we are free to die. Today we can be free and don't have to live in that condemnation, but we can be set free. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We should rejoice in the Lord of our freedom. We're not in the bondage of slaves. Praise God. But we're set free. Amen. We walked in a road of misery when we were in sin. We walked a road of bondage when we was in sin. But the Spirit of the Lord came and set us free. And now we can sing the song, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. My glory divine. I have been redeemed by Christ Jesus. I am set free. I am redeemed. And that's the power of the gospel message today. It still sets free. I think some of us are struggling with that. I'm not going to the tent meeting just to do a routine. Just to say we do it year after year. We're going to take the gospel message that there is hope. He said, well, people don't hear. It will never listen. They will never leave their minds. It will never leave their minds. That message will stick with them till their grave. Amen. And when they stand before Christ, they'll give an account of it. We are going to take the power of the gospel. If you think we're just going through a routine, you missed it. You're going for the wrong reason. If you're going just to hear some good preaching, you've gone for the wrong reason. We're going because the Word of God is going to mankind to set them free and to deliver them. It's God's. I wanted to share that the Lord just laid these things in my heart a few days ago before our tent meeting. But I want us to know. Some of us may have lost hope in people being saved. No, amen. The power of the gospel is still real. It is still real, still saves, it still sets free, it still delivers. The law condemns them, but the Spirit of the Lord comes in and delivers and sets them free. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
We've got to go with that mindset. We've got to go out there. That we're going to take something to them.
Right.
To set them free. To deliver them.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Glory
to His name. Glory to His name. It's not written on stones anymore. But it's written on our hearts, church.
Yeah.
The Word of God is now written in our hearts right now. We don't have to go just to a book and read it. We don't have to go to a tablet and read it. It is down our hearts. God has entrusted us with this glorious message. That's what Paul says. He's trusted me with this message. He has trusted us with this message to take this message out and to be faithful with it and to go in the power of God with it to see mankind set free. Your lost loved ones can still be saved. Your children can still be saved because it's the power of the gospel. When Moses went before God and he received the law, the glory of the Lord shone on his face when he came down off that mountain and they wanted a veil upon him. Now that we receive this new testament, this new covenant, when the glory of the Lord is shining out of us now, it's reflecting out of us now, and mankind needs to see it out of us today. So much as the children of Israel say, Moses, you've got to put a veil on your head. It should be the same way today that they see such God in us that they can't stand it. They either got to leave or they've got to receive it. It should be something that they should see in us that they want, church. Amen? Sometimes a lot of lies that people live in the church. The world don't want that. The world don't want what you have. All the bickering and fussing and things. The glory of the Lord is to shine through us now, church. We have the new covenants. We received His glory. How's your children seeing you? Amen. How's your loved ones? How's your cousins, your uncles, your neighbors? How are they seeing you with this new covenant? Is the glory of the Lord shining?
Preach.
Amen. Is it something that would draw them to it? Or is it something you just fuss at? I'm in bondage with? Don't ever say this message is bondage. This message is deliverance. This message has set people free. It has set you free if you live according to it. It's not bondage. Holiness is not bondage. This message is not bondage. Yes, I'm a slave to Christ, but it's a slave of love. It's a master that loves me. It's a master that wants what's best for me. It's not bondage. It's deliverance. When I was in sin, I was in bondage then. I had to do those things then. I had to participate in those things then. But now it's out of love and deliverance that Christ has given to me. Amen. Do they see the bickering? Do they see you fussing all the time? Do they see the father and the mother fussing all the time? Amen. Today our neighborhoods are so close together, the neighbors see what's going on. I see what's happening in my neighbor's yard and stuff. I hear the hollering. I hear the scream. I hear all that. I hear the music. What do they hear from your camp, though? Huh? What do they hear from your camp? Amen? Do they hear the hollering? Do they hear the wrong things? Amen? What kind of glory is shining from you? Amen? Is it the glory that they would want? Praise God. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. It's very basic, but I just wanted to know it's the power of the gospel. It's the power of the gospel. Paul said he wasn't ashamed of this gospel. If you're ashamed of this gospel, you don't think it can deliver, you're ashamed of it then. Oh my. If you don't think there's power in this gospel, then you're ashamed of it. If you don't think this gospel can deliver, you're ashamed of it. It can set free. God is working. God is getting us ready for that harvest. But we've got to believe and put our trust in the power of the gospel message. Praise God. Too much bickering. Too much fussing. Too much complaining. We receive the glory of God. Amen. And we don't need those things. Praise God. There's enough of that in the world. You go out in the world, you hear it all the time. It don't need to come from Christians. We should be the most thankful people. Amen. We should be the most happy people. I've been set free. I'm on my way to heaven.
Right.
Praise God. If I die, I win.
Right.
If I die, I win.
Right.
Praise God. Amen. If you're a child of God, you're a winner today.
Yes.
You should rejoice in that. Amen. Praise God. There were some things I have learned. Times I have been in the hospital and things. And I don't like to refer to myself, but just some things God let me go through. And I just want to share a couple of them with me. There's one thing that since I've come through some of these things, it seems like I just have lost a tolerance. I don't have the tolerance for hear people complain. I struggle with that. Struggle with that. I hear complaints so much about how hard you got your job, how this and how that and everything. Praise God. Be thankful you got a job. Be thankful you can get out of bed and go to the job. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. Well, I don't like my job. I don't like this. I don't like that. Tell God about it. Amen. If it's not where you're supposed to be, He'll make a way. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And I see so much unthankfulness. So much unthankfulness. So I'm not guilty of that. Well, I'm just preaching. I'm just putting it out there. Just putting it out there. So much unthankfulness. Praise God. Amen. Health that God's given you. All that God's provided for us. Amen. Praise God. You're here in an air-conditioned room. Praise God. And we still fuss about how hot it is. Amen. All that God. Praise God. Amen. So much right here, church. And this very building. I done lost some of you already. Amen. Praise God. Done lost some of you. This is the message that the world is seeing. Amen. They're not reading it on tablets of stone. They're not reading it in a book. It's been written in our hearts and we're taking it out there before them. What do they hear? What do they see? Amen. Praise God. I thought many a times people would complain about something. I'd like to take them down there and they need to have at least one bag of chemo pumped in their system. They'll walk out of there the most thankful person they ever been. Amen. Praise God. You say, well, you've been through that. Well, these are things I've learned. I'm spreading them to you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So unthankful, church. Amen. Now I've done killed you guys. I done killed you all. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Help us, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I go down there to that cancer ward many a times when I had to have platelets or blood and stuff. I look at those people that go in there day after day. They're outpatients, but they're sick. They've got cancer. And I see no hope. It's written on their face. They have no hope. They don't know God. A lot of them don't even... The doctors don't even know what to do. They're just trying. They're just trying things. I seen one time, I went down there and I saw across the room there. I saw a young woman about Sarah and Angel's age. She had a little baby with her. And I saw her getting that chemo pumped in her system. 20-some years old probably. I said, God. God help us. Praise God. We have nothing to complain about, church. Another time I looked across the room and I heard a man talking. He was in his 30s. His wife was sitting next to him. She was 9 months pregnant, their first child. He had some kind of cancer. The doctor couldn't even tell him what they had. So I've never seen it before. Rejoice, church. Rejoice, church. So much to be happy about. Amen. We have the new covenants. We have the New Testament. We've been set free. Amen. We've got the power of the gospel. We're on our way to heaven, church. Amen. And God has trusted us with His Word. Amen. God has trusted you with His Spirit. Amen. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to whine and complain while you've got the Spirit of God dwelling in you? That's not my spirit I know of in God's words. He tells us to rejoice in all things. Praise God. He said, well, have you been guilty? I've been guilty of it. I can't stand up and say I'm innocent. But I'm learning. I'm learning. As we'll get down to the end of that chapter, from glory to glory, church. I'm going from glory to glory. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I believe if Mother Woods could say the same thing, some of you, you whine and complain, you need to go to Africa for a couple of weeks. A couple of days, probably. You'll be wanting to get home so bad. Amen. You'll learn your lesson, keep your mouth shut, and be thankful for some of the small things that you have. Amen. Praise God. I know this ain't no shouting Sunday morning service. Praise God. Message. Praise God. Glory to His name. Glory to His name, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus.
We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord.
Oh, God. Praise Your name, Jesus. Praise Your name, Jesus. Praise Your name, Jesus. Praise Your name, Lord. God, I thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us, God. For Your goodness to us, Lord. Praise Your name, praise Your name, praise Your name, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Jesus. Oh, some of you are struggling this morning. You've got mountains in your lives. Oh, just take it to God. You don't got to complain about it. Just take it to God. Let God move that mountain. Let God see you through that Red Sea. Let God destroy the Philistines. Let God destroy the giants in your lives. Amen. Let God work. That's the power of the gospel message. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Sister Knox, God's going to see you through. God's going to see you through. Sister Kay, God's going to see your family through. God's going to see each one of us through. We're going to make it, church. That's the power of the gospel. Amen. We're not defeated people. We're not been defeated by the enemy. God's going to see us through, church. We've got the power of the gospel. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Whatever you're facing today, God will see you through it. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, God. You may say, you don't know what my mountain is. Y'all know how big your mountain is. God never said what size the mountain had to be. He doesn't say what size the giant had to be. God said, I'll see you through it. I'll see you through it. That's the power of the gospel. Amen. No matter what you're going through. Last time I was in the hospital, across the room from me, I couldn't see her because this way our beds was lined up. I a lot of times kept my door open. She happened to keep her door open a lot. And a lot of times ministers would come in and out and pray with her. My wife could see her where she was sitting in the chair in my room. She'd look across at her and they'd kind of grin at each other and stuff. Anyhow, one time my wife went over there and talked to her and just shared some things. And the woman said, I've got cancer. It's come back. This is the third time. And the woman told me, Angela said, it's going to take me out this time. But she said, I'm okay with it. I've got peace with God. I'm okay with it. Could you say whatever you're facing that you're okay with it? She was an elderly woman. So this is the third time. I know it's going to take me out. But I'm okay. I'm happy with that. I'm in God's hands. Could you say that laying on your deathbed? Could you say that I'm okay with God? I'm okay with it, God. Whatever you do, I'm okay with it. Praise God. Laying on your deathbed, God will see you through, church. God will see you through, church. Amen. I've got sidetracked here. I don't know. The mountain is not too big for God. The lost loved one is not too big for God. Amen. The pain in your body is not too big for God. This situation that you are in with your family is not too big with God. God will see you through it. God will see you through it. Keep the faith. Let the glory of God shine and reflect through you. The others can see it. God will see you through it. He gets on down towards the end of that chapter. Praise God. Amen. I've been marked to be a long-winded preacher for some reason, so I'm just going to fulfill my marks. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. It's okay. Amen. God's going to see you through it. God's going to see you through it. Something else that God, I know I'm off my message. Something God has helped me with is compassion for people. With going through this, it has just brought more compassion. I see people hurting. I hurt. I see those people. It's all I can do is just contain myself when I see them in their pain and the things they're going through. It hurts. We need that compassion, church. We need the compassion for those people. We mark them as just being evil and ungodly. That's what they are. But you need compassion for them. You need compassion for them. Christ had compassion for those very people that was going to nail him to the cross. His very people that was going to rebuke or reject him and deny him. He had compassion for them. God has helped him. God will help us, church. We need that compassion. A lot of times I used to tell people, said, I wouldn't worry about it if I was you. A lot of times I would just say that. Because I made little of their situation. But whatever their mountain would be, it may seem small to me. But apparently it's big in their life. God's made each one of us different. Some of us can handle things better than other people. Some of us can tolerate more. Some of us, the smashed finger is the end of the world to them. Some of us put electrical tape around and we go on. Amen. God's made each one of us different.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Praise God. And God addressed each one. Christ dressed each one of them different.
Yes.
Praise God. Yes. Now, if it's something I don't think my kids need to be worrying about and fussing over or whatever, I'll tell them. It's not worth fussing over. It's not worth worrying over. God will see you through. God will help you. But when they hurt, I need to hurt. When you hurt, I need to hurt. Amen? I don't have to make light of it. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Help us, Jesus. Oh, God. Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. God, help us today. Amen. Praise God. Are you still with me this morning? Praise God. Praise God. I used to tell people, I'd say, well, it's too far from the heart to worry about. Amen. Praise God. Andrew told me that's what they're going to put on my tombstone. It was closer to the heart than he thought. Because it might be closer to people's heart than what I thought it was. Amen. Praise God. Let me get back to my message. Amen. Glory to God. Notice the last part of that chapter, please. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. When the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Yes. There is freedom, church. There is deliverance. Amen. But we, all with open face, amen, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What Moses done, he's come down, Paul in these writings, the commandment has come, has condemned them. Paul's now telling them, but we don't have this condemnation. We have the Spirit of the Lord. We have this New Testament. We have the blood of Jesus Christ. It will deliver us, set us free from this bondage that we were in. And now we are set. The glory of the Lord is upon us. The glory of the Lord is in us. It reflects God's glory. It's a mirror that we have, the glory of God. And now that glory is to reflect in us to other people. And He tells us that we are also changed from glory to glory. That we don't stay the same, church. Every time we go through a situation, every time we go through something, we need to be changed. That glory needs to be changed in our lives. It's a deeper glory. It's a brighter glory. We are changed from glory to glory. We look at that sinner and God say, there's no hope for them. But there is hope for them. And then they get saved and we say, well, there's still no hope for them. There is still hope for them, amen. Because God's Word will change them from glory to glory. It's going to do an instant change in their life. It's going to set them free. But then there's that change from glory to glory, church. And it needs to be in us also, that change from glory to glory, church. You face something. You need to grow in the Lord's. The deeper you look into God's Word, the more the glory of God should shine in your heart. The other people see the reflection of God through you. Amen. Because you are deeper in God now. Amen. The light should be brighter each time. Amen. Glory to glory. Amen. It's the power of the gospel. It changes people, church. Changes people. And it will change people today. Be compassionate for them. Amen. Be concerned for the lost. Amen. That's the ministry that Paul tells us in chapter 4 that we have. We have this ministry now. What is that ministry? We have this that he just talked about in that whole chapter before him. We have the Spirit of the Lord now. It brings deliverance. It sets free people. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. There is the place that people can be set free. Now we have this ministry, he tells us. In other words, we've been entrusted with this message to go forth and not to faint. Not to faint with it. When you start doubting it, you'll start fainting. When you start doubting it, you're not going to pray. You're not going to ask God to convict the sinner. You're not going to seek God. Tuesday night, we start prayer meeting here. It's hard for me to be convinced that you got a burden for the lost. You got a burden for your loved ones. They're lost. But you won't even come and spend some time in prayer with the church about it. You tell on yourself. Oh, then like that, your actions speak louder than words. Praise God. Tuesday night, 7:30. I know there's circumstances. I know there's distance that people have to do. But amen. Praise God. But I hope it's a legitimate one. Amen. Praise God, praise God. All right. So we know that we have this message. There's power in it. But there's going to be some difficulties too. There's going to be some problems. It's not going to be a bed of roses. It's not going to be smooth sailing all the time. He tells us right here what we must do when we take this message gospel in verse 2, chapter 4. We're not going to we're going to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. We're not going to take this Word of God out and use it in ways of dishonest. We're not going to take it here and walk in craftiness or trickery. We're not going to use God's Word for trickery and dishonesty. We're going to handle the Word of God. We're not going to handle the Word of God deceitfully. A lot of people are doing that. Handling the Word of God. Paul says we have this ministry. We've been trusted with it. But people are renouncing, are using it in dishonest ways. If you don't preach the full message of the gospel, that you're going to die in your sin. You're not using it. You're using it dishonestly. If you're just patting people on the back, God understands your sin. No, God don't understand your sin. He understands your sin is bondage and He made a way that you can be set free from it. You're using the Word of God dishonestly. You get upset when we preach something hard. We're preaching it honestly. We're not trying to give you something dishonest. Amen. Give it to me where I understand it. Give it to me honestly. Tell me. I don't know, but I get aggravated when I test my kids. What's wrong? There's nothing. And you know something's wrong. Tell me what it is.
Come on. Amen.
Don't get mad at the preacher. Tell me what it is. Amen. Praise God. Oh, you shouldn't say it that hard. Tell me what it is. Amen. Praise God. They're using it dishonestly. They're using it for personal gain. They're taking the gospel message and using it for personal financial gain. Amen. God has not entrusted us with this message to use it for personal gain. There's nothing wrong with a minister getting paid for preaching or things like that, but men have taken this message and have used it for personal gain. Amen. Selling it. Putting for sale sign on it. This thing is not a message that is for sale. This is not a message that I can use and go out and make money off of it. This message is not a car lot where I can sell it to somebody and make money off of it. This is a message of deliverance, a message of hope, and I've got to tell it straight. Praise God. I'm hurrying. I'm trying to hurry. I know all of you tired. I'm trying. Praise God.
Glory
to God. Going to be some struggles, he tells us. Go all the way down. I'm going to skip down. Verse 8. Praise God. I can't. Oh, Lord, help us. Verse 7 is so good, though. It's hard to skip it, man. Praise God. Oh, we have this treasure, church. We have a treasure. Oh, God. We have a treasure in earthen vessels. What's that earthen vessel? It's us. It's us. Do you understand you have a treasure? Do you understand what you have today? Do you understand what you have today? Praise God. Some of you are squirming, can't wait till this is over. Do you understand what you have today? Amen. You have a treasure. You have a treasure. You have something that money cannot buy. What is that treasure? The excellence of the power of God. Not us. Not our power. If we'd say we've got a treasure in our power, I'd say you don't have much. You don't have anything. But I got the power of God in me. I've been set free. I've been delivered. I've been set free from the bondage of sin. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got the gospel message in me. I've got the glory of God reflecting over me. It's in me. I have a treasure, church, and an earthen vessel. It is in me. Praise God. Wherever I go, one day I hope I can go overseas. But that treasure's going with me, amen. If I had to go back to a hospital, that treasure's going with me. Wherever I go, that treasure is with me, church. Oh, praise God. Could you raise your hand and say, thank you, Lord, some amen. Praise God. Oh, help us, Jesus. We're troubled, though. We got trouble, church. There's going to be trouble. Satan's not going to sit down. Say, you take this gospel message out there. You preach this message, I'll leave you alone. No, sir. He's not going to do that. Preach this message, I'm going to give you problems. You're going to have some troubles. He says, we're troubled on every side, Paul writes. But we're not distressed. We're not hemmed in. That's what that word distress means. We are troubled on every side. In other words, every way we turn, there seems like there's problems. This problem, that problem, this problem, this person, this person. Everywhere you go, there's trouble, church. The enemy's fighting in every direction. I wasn't with you last tent meeting, but it sounded like the enemy fought you every night with weather or with something. He tried to do everything he can. That's the trouble that the enemy's doing, church. But He hasn't got us pinned down. We're not deflexed, He tells us. We're not hemmed in, church, is what that word means. There is trouble on every side. But we're not distressed, church. We're not hemmed in. We're not bound down that Satan has got us bound down where we can't take this gospel message out. Yes, there's trouble everywhere. Yes, there may be financial problems everywhere. There's always the enemy fighting, church. But we're not hemmed in. We're not backed into a corner where we can't go forward. Amen. We're heading this trouble head on. Amen. And we're not going to let the trouble pin us back into a corner and say, we can't do nothing. We can't go forward. We can't preach this message. No. We have the trouble all around us, but we're still going forward. We're not hemmed in, church. Praise God. Amen. Troubled on every side. Oh, man. We're perplexed, church. What's that mean? It just simply means it's that perplexed, it's, there's no way out, seems like. That's what it means when you look it up. No way out. Praise God. Seems like we're just hemmed in. There's no power. There's no deliverance. We're just hemmed in here. There's no power. We're not seeing people saved. We're not seeing these things. But Paul writes, yes, we're perplexed. Yes, it seems like there may be no way out. It may seem like it's a hopeless cause. If you listen to the devil, he will tell you that. It's a hopeless cause. Amen. All he wants to do is get you discouraged a little bit about it, and he's got you hemmed in. You will stop. But Paul says, yes, we're perplexed. We are perplexed. But we're not in despair. We're not utterly at lost. Amen. Yes, there's problems. Yes, there seems like there's no way out. But we are not utterly lost. There is a way out. And it's through the cross of Jesus Christ. It's through Calvary. That is our way out, church. The message has to go forward. Persecuted. But not forsaken. Oh, praise God. When that persecution comes, God hasn't forsaken you. God hasn't turned His back on you. You're not forsaken. Paul never complained about his persecution to God that had forsaken him. He said, no, this is the will of God. I've got to go through this. I've got to go through this for the gospel message to go forwards. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. Oh, There's going to be times you may get knocked down. You may get the wind knocked out of you. I remember as a child we used to do stupid things and the wind would get knocked out of us. We'd jump the ramps with bicycles, come down and you just lay down and the wind, you're trying to get your winds knocked out of you. There may be times that happens. Amen. There may be times and it seems like you've gotten the wind knocked out of you, church. Praise God. But you're not destroyed. We'd get up. We'd catch that breath. And we'd go on. And we'd probably go right back and do it again. Amen. Praise God. And that's what you've got to do. Satan may come down and he may knock us down a little bit. The storm may come and blow the tent around. But we're going to go right back and put it up again. And we're going to go forward again. Amen. We're not going to fold it up and say, what's the use? We got knocked down. No. We're going to get right back up there. We're going to praise God. Amen. We're going to build it right back up. And we're going to go forwards. Amen. I'm hurrying. Praise God. I got to hurry. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. I hate to quit preaching because I feel good when I'm preaching. Amen. You stop preaching, man, you feel bad. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. God's good to us. Amen. Praise God. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Amen. The life of Jesus. They don't see Jesus. Nobody out here has ever seen Jesus walking around. But they see you. They see you. They see the life of Jesus manifested in us, church. I've already covered a lot of that. What do they see when they see you? Amen. Praise God. Let me go on down. I won't quit. Praise God. Let me jump all the way down to the end of the chapter. 17, verse 17. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Two things he talks about it. He says it's light and it's only for a short time. We make it big and we make it long. Amen. Yeah. We make something big out of it and we make it last forever. But he says our light affliction, which is but for a moment, oh, tells us there's so much more better things. Worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. Much more. The light affliction that you go through, I don't want to take out context, but the light affliction and the things you go to, I know when we get to heaven, people say, well, we're going to look back and we're going to say, wow, that was nothing compared to what I got here, man. I'm in the presence of the Lord. I got streets of gold. I got all this. All that I went through, that was nothing. But I'm telling you, the light affliction that you go through now, the light affliction that you go through now and the things that you go through, it's only for a short time.
That's right.
I almost can say probably all of us have not been afflicted with the very same thing our entire life. Now, I know there's people who are paralyzed or people who can't walk and things like that. I understand that. But the affliction that we go through, the things that Satan puts upon us, they're a light affliction. He's not going to put more upon us than we can withstand. Sometimes it seems like we're at the borderline. I'll tell you, there's a lot of times I thought I was at the borderline. I can't take anymore. I talked to Brother Messer and he went to the death of his brother. He said, it was almost more than I could bear. But I know God would not put more in me than I could bear. He went, he said, I've made it through it. I'm going to make it through it. There's times that he puts up and it seems like one more straw and we're going to break down. We're just going to make it. And God will not let that straw go on your back if it's the one that's going to break you down. Amen. And he says, we look not as the things which are Let me back up. For our light affliction, which is by far more work, is a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But I'm going to tell you, the things you go through here now are of value. If you let them, they will help you. They'll bring glory now. You can look back at things you've gone through and you can say, I didn't understand why I was going through that at that time, but now I can see the weight of the value of it now.
That's right.
You don't have to wait till heaven for that to happen. It can happen now. I don't want to take this out of context, but it can happen in your life now. If you will just let God work, it's a light affliction. Let God work through your life. He'll see you through it. And you'll come out the other end and you'll realize how much glory it brought to you. How much it helped you when you thought it was destroying you. Amen? Last verse. Well, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal.
Yes.
They are eternal. We see things, church, and we just have a vision of things here now. We got to get an eternal view of this. Souls are eternal. People are eternal. People are eternal. A lot of times we just see them. We don't see the eternal life there or death. Amen. I'm finished. You stand, please. Praise God. Just a few things I wanted to share with you about this gospel message. I don't want you to go out there those 2 weeks and just say, and just go through a motion. Just go through a routine. I want you to go to, I am taking the power of the gospel. I am taking the power of the gospel. There is a pastor in Florida, before he got saved, he was walking down the streets of his town, walked by the church. He said, God, if you're real, show me something. All of a sudden, all the lights in the street went off, came right back on. He said, that's a coincidence. But it made him give his heart to God, became a pastor. Stories after stories you can tell.
Yeah.
People driving by and they had to come in. One man said he drove by a church, they was in revival, and he said it looked like the church was on fire with flame. He come in, gave his heart to God. That's the power of the gospel. You say that's way back then. No, God is real today. The gospel message is real today.
Same Holy Ghost.
Praise God. Right here. I read this book and I gave my heart to God. I just read the 4 Gospels. And it convicted me. And I gave my heart to God. That's the power of the gospel message.
Amen.
It will set man free. It will bring that conviction. It will bring that power. Amen.
Yes.
And I want to see that happen.
Amen.
I want to see that happen.
Yes, Lord.
And I'm going to keep plugging along until I see it happens. Because it's real today. I'm not hemmed in. I'm not down. I've got a way out through Jesus Christ. Satan may bring all these things against us, but when I'm going forward. Will you go forward with me? Will you go forward and believe? So if it don't happen this tent revival, I'm going to keep going forward. Amen? I'm expecting it to happen. I'm expecting it to happen. Because God is faithful. And I want to encourage you to go in faith, not doubt. Go in faith, not doubt.
Praise the Lord.
Now, how many are with me on this? Will you come up here and let's pray a little bit and ask God to help us? Can you do that?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I know I've been a little long. Just can you come up here and ask God to help you? If you've doubted, ask God to forgive you. God, help us to bring this gospel message and its power to us.